Welcome to Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna.
Hello, and thank you for stopping by Kiki and Kibitz with Jordan and Brianna, the Bravo podcast that is of the people and for the people. My name is Brianna, and I'm here with my brilliant, incredibly handsome and charming co-host, Jordan. Hey, Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, Brianna. I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay, man. Just laying low today.
Getting through the week.
Right. I'm podcasting in my pajamas for the second week in a row. That's where I'm at. Hot Mess Express. But anyway, the reason that we are a Bravo podcast of the people and for the people is because we're going to start out today with a topic that one of our listeners said, please, please, please cover this. And I hope she's listening right now because this is for you, baby. We are going to discuss the messy divorce of Jim and Megan once again. But this time it's the salacious revelations that they had threesomes and that one of the women in one of those threesomes is now dating Jim. And apparently, according to Megan, was dating this lady behind her back while they were still married. Mm. Do I have any of that wrong? Do you have anything to add to that story?
Well, no, it was their threesome partner. These threesomes, just to clarify, were Jim, Megan, and another female.
Right.
Oh, in case you were wondering just how raunchy it got, it wasn't. it wasn't like an Eiffel Tower situation, but
as though that's more wrong, really.
I don't know. It's just a little raunchier.
Why?
Maybe because I'm a guy.
Exactly. You're a cis white male. No, I think it's more exciting if it was two men. I think the story a lot better. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that would make it really, really interesting because Jim is dating their threesome partner. It would add a whole new twist to this if he was dating a guy. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Anything can happen on Bravo.
I just feel like he's such an asshole, and I've always thought so. I think he treated Megan like crap, you know, just really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really hate to admit that Vicky was right, but I think we did see it coming.
Well, it was exactly 5 years, but the whole time I was screaming at my TV, don't do it, Megan, no, you know, because it seemed really fucking obvious the way he treated her.
Yeah.
I mean, he treated her like a child, for starters, but he really invalidated her at every single step.
She came onto the show with plans to find the spotlight through the marriage, because before she did RHOC, they had just been married when the show started, she also did TLC's Say Yes to the Dress.
I guess
you would call it a celebrity-ish edition. Where
Why?
She went to New York to shop for her dress to marry the baseball player.
Oh, he's the celebrity. Got it.
Yeah. So she definitely went into this relationship looking for a platform for some kind of fame or attention.
Mm.
And I think it sounded to me like he didn't want it so much, but I think he wanted a hot young wife. So it was a deal.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a... I don't know, very bad judgment call, although it seems to have, like you said, given her some fame in her own right.
Yeah.
Although if you think about it, it's a really stupid reason to be, to have fame. Like, <Yeah. laughs> I was a high drama chick on TV and I quit, whatever. I don't know. So yeah, that's the deal. So do you think it's true? Because he denies all of it.
Well, I always like to believe the more... I like to not give people the benefit of the doubt, so I want the story to be true.
You're such an asshole. Shuffling papers. Everybody has to get ready for me shuffling papers because my iPad doesn't work, so I can't see my notes.
Mm.
Sorry, as you can tell, the sound is not very sophisticated on this podcast because I'm doing it and I don't know how. So, I mean, Megan had spoken out on social media and also posted yet another very dramatic Instagram picture of her. This time it's a mural with, I think it's Serena Williams, one of the Williams sisters playing tennis. And it's a huge mural. And then it shows Megan cowering beneath it. And because the picture of Serena is so big, Megan looks tiny. And of course, in case you couldn't tell, she feels small. And this is a follow-up to her other like super emo Instagram post where she posted a picture of herself with no makeup, looking all, you know, forlorn, and the caption was just raw, which to me, I just hated her for. It was like one of those, I just woke up like this, and it's like, you did not. She looked better without any makeup and looking all messed up than I have on the very best day of my entire life. Know that.
I'm trying to peg where on the scale of like lifestyle brands she is, or where she's aiming, because she's super basic. Let's get that. She is super next level basic, but kind of lacking the humor about it.
No wink, Jordan. No,
like
wink.
There's a lack of self awareness, reminiscent of perhaps Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop. Like it's just a.
I know she's a lot. I don't feel the same way about her that I do about Jesus Jugs. Like, I don't hate her, but
no,
like, I also don't find her that interesting at all.
You
and
know,
you're right. She's too serious.
Yeah, I don't like it when she's reaching for depth. I like it more when she's just, like, Googling the hell out of Brooks and, like, making Vicky's life miserable.
Actually, like, that was great. And I liked the way she handled it and how confident she was with it, which is amusing. Mm. After the post, I just wanted to share this one quote that was from Jim that I saw rebutting it, because we have to like at least give the other side. He said to People magazine, "Megan carried on with a few of these women without me being present. And as far as threesomes go, there were more than a few initiated by Megan." And by the way, sorry for me being inconsistent distances away from the mic, but it's this paper that I have to see. Sorry. Anyway, yeah, so he says the threesomes were her idea and she was the one cheating with the women afterwards.
Mm.
Thoughts?
You know, the part where he says she initiated it, she did agree with that when she revealed the whole threesome story. She said she had heard that Jim had a bad boy past. Whatever that means, he seems so uptight and conservative, but they always have like skeletons in their closet. I mean, he's a guy with like six kids, and I don't know. Anyways, and she said so she thought it would be like a special treat for him. So she did initiate it with him in mind. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah, but and he's saying she initiated it.
No. Here's her quote. I've been saving a lot of quotes for this.
Okay.
She said, "I never initiated anything. I went along with things because I thought that's what he wanted. I wanted to feel as comfortable as possible. We only had one threesome and only once during our marriage, and that was with his current girlfriend. I never carried on with any woman outside of these consensual acts described above."
Oh.
And then she accused him of sex shaming her. She said, "I think his attempt to sex shame me illustrates the vile mind of this man. I'm the mother of his children, and to attempt to exploit deeply personal decisions." Yeah.
She exploited the same deeply personal decisions revealing that.
So, yeah, exactly. And I don't think it's at all bizarre for a woman to initiate a threesome because she thinks it'll make her husband happy, because it never really seemed like he was happy with her.
Yeah, no, he never seemed too pleased. I don't know what he was going for into that marriage, because sometimes you'll see they're like single dads and they kind of want a mother figure for their kids.
Yeah.
But when she attempted to be a mother figure to his teenagers or his teenage daughter, he told her, "Don't bother, let her do what she's going to do." No, so where I'm leading with that is, it seems he didn't necessarily want a mother figure for his, yeah, and it didn't seem like he was so deliriously happy with her. He was swept off his feet by the relationship. So I don't really know. He didn't even want kids with her.
Oh, I know. I was thinking about that today, how he has 7 kids now.
Jeez.
And he didn't want kids with her, and now he has 3 children,
yeah,
with her. And
yeah,
at his age, I do not blame him. I mean,
totally.
You know, do you really want to have a bunch of kids in your late 40s or however old he is? Like, yeah. How old is that dude? He's probably 50.
He's probably about 50-ish. I can check.
Yeah,
it'll take three extra seconds to find his age, because Jim Edmonds is the most like generic name I could think of. Oh, he's 49. He'll be 50 this year.
There you go. Nailed it. Yeah, yeah. So who wants to have kids at that age?
Especially.
Because I'm sort of around that age too. And like, I would never. Let me, to quote Melissa Gorga, don't you ever. I made a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah. 7 kids. I mean, he had 4, which is a large number,
yeah,
of children.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
She almost, I shouldn't say she, like it was her fault. They to get with her.
No, it is her fault. She didn't get pregnant accidentally. It was all IVF. So, no, I mean, but it was a choice, is my point.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying, because
not just her choice, in other words.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but she talked him into it. Like, if you can believe what you saw on TV, because mm-hmm. you kind of saw that, right? Where she kept talking about how she really wanted kids, and she, you know, I thought she kind of talked him into it. He didn't go to any of the IVF visits. He showed 0 notice of it. That was part of the storyline. Yeah. This was so long ago, I don't remember half the details.
Well, what I was going to say is 4 kids is a full roster to have as it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's 2 kids short of a baseball team.
Yeah. I mean, that number nearly doubled. That is a lot of work.
And think about all the child support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot of money. It's a huge commitment. And he now has 50-50 custody, by the way.
Yeah, he does, which was a big point in their divorce settlement, because 50-50 means she's entitled to a lot less support.
Well, it also means he's taking care of the babies.
Yeah.
That means he has them half time.
Yeah.
And that shocked me that he would even want that. He just doesn't seem like a guy who would take care of a baby. Like,
I wonder,
he probably has a bunch of nannies.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably has help. And I think part of it was a vindictive nature, where I have friends who've had this issue themselves in custody. They want 50-50 just to spite them for trying to take what they perceive as taking advantage of child support. Because if someone has the majority, you're kind of stuck paying for their housing. You get a lot more.
Yeah, if you have a lot more money, you definitely are going to pay.
Yeah, so he like kind of put his foot down and was like, I don't know how the children will be raised, but
I don't know. She seems like a good mom, but she is kind of, I think she's a drama queen. And you know, I do think he probably cheated, but I don't think like there's a lot more drama than warranted by that story.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep upping the stakes in their like rumors, accusation slinging. Because when you said at first he denied it,
right.
I thought you meant he was going to say, we never had a threesome, I've never slept with this woman inside our marriage, blah, blah. No, he just took it to the next level.
Said it was her. Like, it was her.
Yeah, he was like, not only did we have threesomes, Megan loved it and she went back for more.
Right, like, exactly. Whoa. And he's all, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Do you know what I'm talking about? You might be so old.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Just don't even know. People probably forgot that by now. And that's how freaking old I am. I'm ancient. Well, I'm Jim Edmonds age-ish. So I just want to say, and maybe this is the last thing to say, I'm not sure, maybe you got more stuff, but I just want to say, who wouldn't want to sleep with any woman rather than Jim Edmonds? That's my personal comment on this. He's gross.
And you know this isn't his last marriage.
Do you think that? How many times has he been married?
She's his 3rd. He has 7 kids with 3 women. Although one, sadly, you saw the first season. She passed from
cancer. From cancer. I remember that.
he's been around the block, and especially now that he has these three kids that he has 50% custody of, I honestly don't think this is his. What if Megan's the one who doesn't come back on OC, and it's Jim with his fourth wife?
Oh, my God. Well, I guess if it's this woman he's dating, she's from OC.
That would be interesting, because it would be the first. When usually the wife returns, you know, post-divorce. What if he'd be the first two-time real husband? Two different women.
That would be pretty... Well, Slade was kind of like that, but he wasn't a husband, right?
Yeah, no, he was never married to them, but...
He just bounced around.
That's true.
This is totally unrelated, but I saw a picture of Gretchen Rossi the other day, and it was so filtered that she literally looked like a porcelain doll. She did not look like a real human.
Yeah, she has had more work done than, like, her face is from, I don't even know.
They're filtered, though, her pictures. Mm-hmm. I smell hashtag ring light. But also, it's so filtered that it's like she has smoothed out every single line on her face. And I don't even mean age lines. Like, we have some lines that are just normal, you know?
Oh, God. I'm looking at these before and after pictures of her.
My God, right?
I mean, there is a lot of, like, Juvederm going on. Her cheeks are puffed out to kind of...
Oh, yeah.
In an attempt to, like, minimize the normal lines you might have. I forget what they're called, parentheses or whatever.
The marionette lines?
What?
Marionette lines around her mouth.
Yeah, around her mouth. Her face has instead been puffed out to minimize that, but she looks like a swollen potato.
Yeah, they get these fillers in their cheekbones, and right now they're using a thing called Sculptra, where they basically just add volume to your cheekbones because... women lose that as they age, but it seems like these bitches all overdo it. It's so, ugh. It is. And you know I'm a big fan of the Botox and the fillers, but not the way they roll. Anyway, shall we move on to the topic of our show today, which is the departure of the OGs, ? Because we don't know if these people who said they were leaving, like, we don't know who's leaving and who's not leaving.
They're playing with us.
Yeah, exactly. And as we know, Andy Cohen lies to Kiki and Kibitz.
Yeah.
He's a gaslighter. Anyway, so I thought that we could start in order of people who, like, the most doubt over whether they are leaving to the least doubt. In other words, the person we know is leaving. So I thought we could start with Nene from Real Housewives of Atlanta because just like Andy said, you tweeted something from Radar Online and it was about, you know, Vicky and Tamara are leaving. Then he responded to that tweet and said, no, they're not, heaving and pulling, and said, no, they're not. Don't believe anything in Radar Online, right? And then it was true.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like this Nene situation is going to be the same where Wendy Williams says, Nene told me she's leaving Real Housewives of Atlanta. Nene comes back and denies it, but it's going to be true.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm really interested in Andy lies a lot. The network lies a lot. They like to be in control of the chaos.
Yeah, it's called PR.
Yeah, obviously. I know. But I mean, they just like out because they want everything released on their own schedule, I guess. So they'll just flat out lie. Like I don't know how, you know, like what
he's probably an NDA. Like Andy's probably not allowed to say things before they're officially, like they want to be ready with their press release and you want to have quotes from the network and it probably has to go all the way up to the top to get okayed because it's kind of one of those messages that stick around. So, I mean, having been in marketing for many years, that is how I envision that happening where he's not allowed to say.
Well, he doesn't just not say or say, stay tuned. He flat out is like, there has been no discussion of this whatsoever. And you're like, 2 weeks later, lie. He betrayed us.
I was just going to say, so what do you think about Nene? Is this going to be a similar situation?
If she actually leaves or not?
That's my question. Do you think
I don't know. I don't know if he's a part of it. If Wendy Williams leaked it, and she is very friendly with NeNe.
Well, in between feuding with her.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's how they all are. I mean, first of all, I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
I think Wendy Williams wants to be a Real Housewife.
Oh.
But number, I'll start with, I wonder if NeNe is the one planting it as a way of, like, contract negotiation or what?
Really could be. Absolutely could be. I mean, maybe all this is about that.
A lot of them threaten to leave, and then they get, like, you know, another $250,000 on top of their thing. And it's all, I think, when you have these OGs who are always threatening to leave, this isn't her first time. It wasn't even Vicky's first time. They all threaten, say they could walk away from the show. What they're doing is trying to, number one, get more money, and number two, it's an ultimatum so they can elbow some housewives they don't like off the show.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, so I saved this quote from Wendy Williams because I thought it was interesting, but I thought that NeNe's response was also super interesting. She said, "Here's the phone call that I got. I took a break between commercials. My office is right there behind the set. I had to go to the bathroom, and I looked at my phone in between commercials, and NeNe texts, I'm quitting. 9:08 this morning. I'm surprised I got it because I have no service in my office, but I got it." And she said, you know, by the way, I'd like to point out, she said she got a phone call, and then she said she got a text, okay? Which is it, Wendy? Which is it? Anyway,
that's
so
true.
The last part is, she says, she adds this, like, she basically comes out and says, you know, I know something terrible about NeNe. She says, I have got to say something, but I'm not going to say a whole lot. I know something about NeNe that you will all cry, be sad, be bad for her, I should say it in her accent. She has such a strong New Jersey accent. She's carrying the weight of a huge thing on her shoulders. And then she said, it's not about her husband, it's not about her health, and it's not about her kids. So, don't know.
Because my first thought there was Greg.
Yeah, but she basically denied it. But here's what really fascinated me. NeNe's response was that conversations in private should stay private. Uh-huh. So does that mean that she's denying it, or just that she didn't want Wendy to share it?
I think she wants it to appear as if she didn't want it shared. Like you said, she didn't deny it really because she just said that conversation should have been private.
Exactly.
However, why would you share it with Wendy Williams if you expect it to be private?
Yeah, she also came back with a statement from her manager. Actually, her manager came back with a statement saying nothing has been decided. That does sound like contract negotiations.
Yeah.
She sucks this season, though. Like, why even have her on at all? Like, she really is being a friend of.
Yeah, she really hasn't been that engaged with the whole story.
I'm not that engaged with Real Housewives of Atlanta at all this season. Where are my sassy ladies? Because they're all so tame and boring now.
It is boring. And there's like, no, I really think they need to cut the cast in half and make Marlo full time. I love Marlo.
I can't stand her, but I think you're right about it would really liven things up.
Yeah, I don't think we need any more Eva.
I really liked that chick, Shamari. I was sad that they cut her.
Yeah, she only had like a season or half.
I know, and I liked her. I thought she was one of the cooler ones. I'm a little bored of Candy, too, to be honest.
I don't think Candy's that interesting. I've said this from the beginning. It's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like, well, this season she doesn't. I've always said she doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I got you. That's, like, yeah.
She's low energy, in my opinion.
You know what? But she, whose shoes did she puke on? Eva's? I didn't think she was that low-key. She was always drunk and stupid. I loved it. And I like that she out-sang Candy in their little talent show. So anyway, let's move on because we don't know anything. It's a big mystery. And frankly, who cares? Not me. I wonder if Wendy Williams actually cares.
Wendy William wants to be on Bravo. I think she wants a Marlo position, like a really messy friend of who's in on all the drama.
I wonder if she feuds with everyone like Nene, because that's what I was saying to you before, is like Nene cannot stay friends with anyone. She falls out with everybody and has years-long feuds and then gets back together. And I know it's her. I think she's like the world's most difficult human to get along with. This coming from a difficult human to get along with.
Yeah, I've heard stories. Greg is kind of like her apologizing middleman. Like, she'll be awful to like a waitress or whatever.
He's the anger translator.
Yeah, and then like he'll afterwards be like, I'm so sorry, and slip him like a 50 or something. Like, he is often the middleman for her. And Wendy Williams feuds with everyone. That's her career.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Like, any day. I mean, she can decide she doesn't like someone. They're very similar. They're cut capricious. From the same cloth.
They're capricious. Anyway, let's move on, because also, who cares? But I think that OC actually got pretty damn interesting, this whole women leaving and not leaving. And I just, for everyone, to give them a little bit of background, a couple weeks ago, January 24th, Vicky confirmed she's leaving the show. And she had her little Insta post, which just said, I will always be the OG of the OC. And it's okay. Also, who cares? Can I make the title of the episode, Also, Who Cares? And then the next day, Tamara said she was leaving. And this was what Andy Cohen said. He said it wasn't about their age, because I guess some people were saying it was about their age. And Vicky is 57 and Tamara is 52. And he said, no, we just felt like with Orange County, we were going in circles a little bit with the group. True. Sometimes you have to take people out of the group to see the stories go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I think that if we had taken Shannon out of the group, then we would have had a discussion about whether it has something to do with age. But he finally is coming out and saying the thing that everyone else says, which is, it gets boring.
It does.
And they're boring. I mean, Vicky is super boring.
Vicky hasn't really had a new... Vicky's still arguing about things that happened like 4 seasons ago.
Right. I know.
The cancer scam, the Brooks, the fraud. It's enough. It's run its course.
Well, there's more. If you think back to season 1, Vicky, and this is really a long time ago now. I mean, we were talking a long time ago. She was like this fun party girl. Remember her going to her kid's dorm, showing up and embarrassing him. But as the seasons have gone on, she's become more and more conservative. And I don't just mean politically. I mean, just as a human, she doesn't like cursing anymore. And like, who is she? She's some freaking church lady now. Yeah, that's boring.
It's boring, and it's really like, if that's how she genuinely is, respect for that, but it's very extremely hypocritical.
That's how I feel.
She spent the past decade and a half on TV, like, making out with Tamara and Andales in Mexico.
Well, and also just, like, the show really has started out, the whole Housewives show or franchise started out by showing the very decadent lifestyles of these outrageous women, right? And so, like, we don't see that anymore from Vicky, and that's what we're there for, right? Are we not?
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be not except what, like, voyeurism. It is
voyeurism, I feel like. Yeah. Not in a bad way, but like, we want a window into this world that, you know, let's face it, we're probably not going to be a part of. Well, we are very rich, bitch, but I just don't see us having if we moved to New Jersey, we could live right next door to Teresa. I'm highly confident I could afford her house because it's super cheap there. But anyway.
Yeah, I was really surprised by what the values go for.
Of Jennifer Aiden's house of $1.6 million. Do you know, people, what you would get in that San Francisco Bay Area for $1.6 million? You
would get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, fixer-upper, tear-down.
That's right. 1,200 square feet. I was going to say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it is crazy. So, yeah, they're not that rich. They just live in New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, 16 bathrooms at 1.6 million. I can't even. God. Anyway,
yeah, so that's the point, is that Vicky is no longer giving us that outrageous lifestyle to take a peek at. I mean, if you think about it, in some ways, Housewives was like this evolution of the lifestyles of the rich and the famous.
Yeah.
And it was just with the narrative in between and the owners instead of Robin Leach.
Andy became Robin Leach, and it just became lifestyles of the moderately rich and questionably famous.
Yeah, questionably famous.
Yeah, they're like rich-ish. Like.
And anyway, so like, you know, we're just talking about this in general now about the firings, but one of the articles, I was dying laughing because they referred to Tamara as a realtor.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like that was a burn, you know?
Mm.
Like not a reality star or, you know,
yeah,
or the bombshell or once called the, you know, the hottest housewife, whatever. The
real oh, yeah, thing. She used to call herself the hottest housewife in Orange County.
Yeah. And so when Tamara quit, she unfollowed the rest of the cast.
Yep.
Because she didn't want to hear what they were going to say about it. I never thought about that people stop following because they don't want to see someone else's commentary. I always think of it as like, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But now I get it. She doesn't want to see their posts about her.
Oh, I just thought you meant she wanted to check out of the show and not see like weekly updates.
Nope.
You mean like what their responses to her would be?
Yeah. See, and I found out a lot of people do that. Unfollow so that they are not... Like you, didn't you unfollow a bunch of political news because you were being just bombarded with impeachment
news?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so like you can turn it off by unfollowing.
Yeah. Fun fact on Twitter, you can go to your settings and do content preferences. And I just muted like every political word I could think of. Just anything to clear out my feed.
Yeah, because that's not, let's be real, that's not why we're on Twitter, for sure.
No,
you and I are on Twitter for entertainment, news, gossip, and promoting.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very interesting. Andy just came out, he just came right out and said, we want her back. You haven't seen the last of her.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm hoping, and this is not lip service, that she'll come back in some form, either this season or in the next couple. Because I just feel like she's someone I'm always interested in. I always want to check in with her on. She's been an incredible housewife. She really has. She's been dramatic. She's vulnerable. She has been great. So what is happening? I need you. Behind the scenes, what is happening, Jordan? I just put you on the spot. And now for the Jordan interpretation he didn't know I was going to ask him for.
Well, I wonder if what they're doing is because they have put, because they didn't fire her outright. The offer for next season was a 3-episode contract for the beginning of the season to kind of phase her out, close out her story. They have demoted housewives. Like one season, Luann was back. Or Luann was a friend, and then she came back. I don't think they were firing her as much as minimizing her for a season. Because like he said, these stories do get old, and they need to kind of pull some out of the mix to let other stories develop.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, and I just think they really need a clean slate without Vicky, and Tamara's kind of become an extension of that. So I think they want a season where they can kind of let the newer people develop.
And forget the Trace Amigas or whatever.
God, I'm so glad that's done and over with.
I could say so many bad things and people would just hate me for it. But I just feel like they give women, they're not good for women in general. The way they act is like reflects on all of us. The cave women, you know. But... I don't know. I think it's very interesting. It seems like there's some posturing going on behind the scenes. Like, what if this is Jim and Megan, but in like, you know, the form of, you know, profound hints. So it's like Tamara gets on Instagram and this is what she tweeted. She goes, love you, Andy. don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. And I felt like that's her saying, that's like walking out of a negotiation to buy a car. Like my mom does it all the time. My mom's like the most embarrassing negotiator ever. And she'll be like, I'm walking out, you know, but this is all part of her strategy. And of course it's really transparent. But what if that's Tamara actually saying, you know, so peace out. But what she really means is make me a better offer. And then Andy's statement is actually code for, we want to make you a better offer. Please come back to the negotiating table, you know? And then he says, you haven't seen the last of her. That sounds like we're getting pretty close to signing a deal. Like, what if that's all just code?
That's a really good take on it. I think that's something, because it's clear they aren't done with Tamara. It didn't end the way it did with Vicky, where you just knew. I was surprised by this Tamara.
I actually was too, because she's thirsty AF. So I'm really surprised she wanted to be out of the spotlight.
I still don't understand how Shannon's going to remain on the show without them. What support? Because she's a needy high maintenance cast member.
That's why she's interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're gonna do. Set her out to sea on her own.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there always has to be like some amigas there to talk her off the ledge. To like.
Well, maybe she'll bond with someone else.
I wonder who it will be.
Gina.
You think so?
Well, let's think about this, because Shannon basically is Gina. Like, they're both super needy and they're a hot mess all the time. Yeah. Like, maybe that's not enough sanity. Emily would be good for Shannon because she's utterly rational.
Yeah, but they don't seem to click, but that's what new seasons are for.
I know.
Alliances are all about strategy in the moment.
So, like, what do you think's happened? What happens in the off seasons? Like, are we looking at, and again, my naivete is being destroyed day after day because of you. I'm becoming more and more cynical. But like, is what's happening, like, you have a big feud on the show and you don't necessarily always know what it's like. Like, you don't support other women, Bethany, but whatever. But so then they take a hiatus. And during the hiatus, these people confer about how to fix their image and cement their job security.
Yeah.
So then they come back with like almost a brand new character they've created, like a dramatic interpretation of themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, is this possible?
Well, yeah. One thing Bravo's open about, they encourage the women not to socialize off season.
What?
Or at least to minimize it. Because if there is a major development, if they have a falling out, or they don't want to open the season explaining how off camera, suddenly Gina and Emily went on a retreat where the cameras weren't and they're like lovers, and you know.
Yeah, no,
they want all this on camera. You kind of go on that show pledging your friendship to Bravo. So they don't encourage it. And a lot of these women do say they don't speak to each other very minimally.
Does that mean they're not actually friends in real life though? Or is it just the people who aren't really good friends who never see each other?
Well, part of it too is some of them are friends, I guess, or at least for multiple. I guess on Bravo, being friends for more than one season kind of makes you like lifelong BFFs. But they also, because of the show and the way it films, you spend, as an adult, you see friends from time to time.
Yeah.
This is like a summer camp where for 4 or 6 months, you guys are filming, traveling, everything. So I think they need a breather from each other anyways.
Do you think they see each other as colleagues mostly?
Versus what?
Friends.
Yes. I think for the most part, once in a while, you'll find that rare friendship. Like, we always thought Kyle and LVP had that, but as we see, it doesn't always work out. Like, you had Jill and Bethany, which was pretty raw, because they did seem kind of like...
Actual friends.
Like friends, like family. Mishpuka, as Jill Zarin would say.
I've never heard that word before.
Oh, Mishpuka is Yiddish. It means family.
Huh.
Like family, you know, like close friends.
Like you.
Yeah.
Like you are to me.
It's your Kiki and Kibitz Yiddish lesson for you.
Yeah, I do. I learn so much from you every day, Jordan. But so, I mean, so let's say they don't talk to each other. They're more colleagues than friends, or they just need a big break from each other because, tell you, I do if I spent that much time with other people. So do you think they are literally going over a new storyline in their minds? Like, are they sort of like we do before the podcast? Do they have an outline?
Yeah.
And talk through it?
Until the new casting is announced and they have to know who they're going to deal with, I don't think they put much time into befriending people or healing wounds. Or once they know who their new friends are for, or who their new colleagues are for the season, that's when they kind of determine how they're going to operate. Like with OC and like Shannon, remember she went into that season out of nowhere trying to befriend Kelly, like pulling her, it backfired on her completely. But what was this, like two seasons ago, they run into each other and she's like, yeah, well, I've had some weight issues, and trying to like relate to her, and Kelly's like, whatever, fat bitch. Like,
yeah, that was the eating, right?
Yeah.
That was one of my most, that was so hard to watch. Of course, I relate to the weight issues so much. I really felt for Shannon there, by the way.
Well, what I'm saying is,
I got it off track. Felt bad for her. Sorry.
She had to look at the cast and see who she was going to face and what her plan was. So that's why she tried to nip it in the bud with Kelly, trying to like relate to her on a human to human level. Kelly wasn't having it, but that's what I mean. Once she knew they were full-time cast members together, she had to figure out, is she going to be nice? Is she going to continue?
I didn't even think about that. Like,
yeah.
You don't know necessarily if you're going to be working with someone again.
Yeah, so
you sometimes might think you're not.
Pretend, yeah, sometimes they pretend they're done. Like, you think they sit around wondering how Peggy Salahian from like
eight, oh my god, I forgot about her.
Yeah, I mean, but when they know, when you know you're going to be back on camera with them, you have to figure out.
Yeah.
Also, if you just keep a feud going too long, then the feud gets stale, and then you're still off the show.
And everyone, it seems like, comes back with like a spiritual awakening. They're always like the better, more namaste versions of themselves, but it quickly fades. So maybe they do see the hiatus as a time of redemption, essentially, because we're not during it, but they figure out how can they redeem themselves and come back with this new spiritual self, which is essentially an excuse for like, my old self was terrible. That's the only reason I did these terrible things, but I'm different now.
Yeah.
But maybe that is like the only way they can explain away some horrific behavior. So that pretty much wraps it up for discussing Tamara and her situation. And I guess the bottom line is that it's not a done deal yet. It just isn't. So I feel totally misled and lied to again. Andy, why are you whipping me around in circles like this? It's just such an emotional roller coaster.
He knows he has us hooked. The more abusive he is to us, the more we keep running back like desperate puppies.
Oh my God, it's true. We're abused and we have Stockholm syndrome. Andy's our captor and we have Stockholm syndrome. Okay, so let's talk about the one OG who is definitely leaving. And here's what I want to say about that as an intro. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch old witch, the Vicky witch. I'm so glad she's leaving. I'm sick of her. So I just wanted to share the quote that she had on her Instagram when she is saying goodbye. And by the way, she had a picture of herself, which was like season one Vicky face, without the chin implants, you know, and with the other nose. And it said, I will always be the OG of the OC, but it's time to say goodbye to the Real Housewives of Orange County. And then she said, it's been an incredible ride for 14 years. And I want to thank you for all of your support, for your love, and for whooping it up.
It's such an old line. I don't know why she ever thought that was something like to trademark or whoop it up. It's not even funny.
It's not. It's like, sounds like your grandma. It's like, okay, boomer.
Yeah, which is exactly kind of what
she is, a boomer, actually, yeah. In her age group, for real.
When people talk about the mentality, they're totally talking about like Vicky.
You know, you're right about that. And I never thought about it because we've got other like older housewives, like Ramona is 61.
Yeah, Ramona's older than her.
But she's actually just getting crazier.
Ramona's cooler than Vicky.
Vicky has nothing cool about her at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she really has become this whole other person. And I don't, like, it's just been this downhill process. Yeah. She is what everyone says, like, when people get older, that they're, like, more risk averse and all these different things. So she seems to embody that. But she's also become, like, the most vicious bitch ever. Mm-hmm. Like, the way she screamed, like, her little display at the reunion was so appalling to me. I mean, when you see a temper tantrum like that, how could you want to work with someone like that? Like, I can only imagine that behind the scenes, Vicky causes even more issues than she does in front of the cameras. She has to, because there's this certain degree of composure that's going on as soon as the cameras are on. And that meltdown in the dressing room, part of which she did not know was being filmed, was absolutely off the rails. I mean, I don't know anyone who acts like that. And I come from a family of temper tantrum throwers, for real.
She should have taken the Adrian Maloof route and just not shown up to the reunion if she thought she was done.
Can we call that the LVP route, please?
Oh, yeah, that's right. LVP did do it. But LVP, at least, LVP had an idea. Like, she kind of hinted she was done with the show halfway through the season.
Yeah.
With Adrian, she just cut it all out. Like, just did it. And I mean, because what did Vicky get out of it? There's no closure. It's the worst she's ever looked on camera.
Oh, my God.
And I don't mean physically. Like, I'm not saying she was.
No.
I mean, her behavior was psychotic.
It was absolutely psychotic. She was shrieking. Yes, she was shrieking. And that is her, that shriek. Like she did on the ski slopes when she's like, I have never had sex with none of my partners. Like she turns into the devil. Her eyes turn like blood red and she goes psycho.
Can you imagine what it's like working on that show? Because you know she has insane demands.
Well, that's what I just said. Like, I feel like if she is that bad on camera, imagine how much shit she causes off camera and what a pain in the ass she is. You know, she's like she fancies herself the Mariah Carey of the OC. Like, you honestly imagine her demanding her dressing room being filled with gardenias and like, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, I don't know where she got this total prima donna attitude. She's like the least humble. Her and Nene are really, really not humble at all.
Yeah.
I don't know who Vicky thinks she is. I really, really don't. But I know who I think she is. Detestable. I don't like it. She's deplorable. I think that's it for the OGs of the OCs and saying goodbye to them. And even though we didn't talk about it, I want to spring it on you, Jordan, because Real Housewives of New Jersey has just continued to be an incredible season. And I've seen a lot of people saying it's like the best season ever. And this last episode, they thought was the best episode yet. So I just thought maybe we could mention some of the highlights. The Hangover from the Hamptons. I think that was the episode title, Hangover from the Hamptons. And I mean, it is very, very interesting. And one of the things I think is interesting is like, who is assembling and rallying around whom? Like, I really don't understand the Teresa-Jennifer dynamic, for example.
Well, you know what, which I love, what Marge observed in the aftermath of the lunch in the Hamptons?
Yeah.
She said, Teresa always leaves with the uninjured party.
Exactly what I'm talking about. What is that about? Maybe she's just one of those people who like always wants to be on the winning side, even if it's wrong.
I guess she never sides with the victim in it.
What does that say about her? I mean, I have to say, she never calls herself a victim either.
What do you mean?
I mean, she's not one to run around saying that the world has screwed her over.
So you think she's kind of drawn to the stronger party in the situation?
Well, it's just one notion. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's weird, and I think it's sort of abnormal. You know?
That's a really weird dynamic. I don't know.
Maybe she really did perceive the wrongdoing in a different way. Like we talked about on our last episode, I really do feel like Marge initiated the shit with Danielle and Danielle reacted in a weird way. And I can't stand, this is not me defending Danielle. I am saying though that Marge pushed a guy in the pool, Marge threw a glass of wine, Marge threw a glass of water. Like these are hostile acts. I agree with Teresa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might be part of it. I really don't know, but I think Jennifer Aiden is feral. Like, what is up with her? Like, do you see something? Talk about someone who changes. You see, like, her pupils dilate, you know? Like she just grows horns or something.
I've been really thinking about why she is so angry and so obsessed with this whole, like, Jackie kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
Her whole life, her whole sense, her whole, understanding of the world was turned upside down by this.
That was her come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, like it, I guess it's apparent from the conversation. She didn't realize Jackie had that kind of money.
Do you think she felt stupid for bragging when Jackie?
She felt stupid and she knew she was out of her league. She was humiliated, kind of.
Yeah, if you think about it, like season one, Jennifer was, you know, so identified with her wealth that that's all she talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The sunset and how it was better than that sunset, whoever's house she was at, 16 bathrooms, which like, how many people have 16 people taking a shit at once? Like, what is that? Why wouldn't you use that space for like, I don't know, one of those cool two-story closets.
for all her Chanel and
her fake Chanel. A lot of her fake Chanel too.
Yeah, I noticed it's not all
Canal Street fakes. For anyone from New York City, you know what I'm talking about. Those are Canal Street fakes. That's a street in New York, Jordan, where you have a lot of stalls on the street selling designer knockoffs.
We have that in LA. It's called Santee Alley.
Oh.
Santee. It's in like downtown. It's a rough part, but that's where people go and get like Louis Vuitton. All the fakes are there. You pay cash.
That's where they get Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
and their chenille.
But I think she was a little embarrassed because
she should be, by the way.
Because the way she leads on the show, she thinks she's living her best life. She thinks everyone wants to aspire to her lifestyle. She thought she was the wealthiest, the most extravagant. And then she found out the one who she thought apparently was the poorest at some point.
Well, because she acts humble.
Yeah. And she found, I think it was clicking with her and she was humiliated. People with real money aren't interested in or impressed by Jennifer's lifestyle. And she probably felt like a fool this whole time, going on and on about her Chanel and countless bathrooms, when someone was sitting here who could buy and sell her and probably looking at her with amusement instead of being impressed.
Maybe contempt.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, what's that?
Jennifer's out of her league. And I think it, like, her whole value system was questioned here.
Well, it should be, because it is monstrous to put that much value on wealth, to think you're above someone because of your money, just makes you a monster. Like, if that really is where your value lies, then you suck as a person. And I think she does suck as a person. Mm. I really do. I can't stand that chick. And I think Jackie has tons of class. But anyway. I just really wanted to bring up like the weird alliances and the follow-up, because this has been a remarkable season of New Jersey. Don't you think?
It's been good. Like the stories are, the friendships and dynamics are developing.
I know.
I mean, at one point I hated Dolores this season and thought she was a monster. Now she's kind of like moved on over and it's like,
I feel sorry for her.
Everyone, she's fairly rational.
She's getting shafted by her boyfriend. Like, it's so obvious, and it's so sad to watch her, like, ask him to propose to her.
Like, she needs it. Like, she doesn't need him. She could do better. She's a very attractive. He doesn't look like anything special. But I mean, look at Frank Catania too. Apparently looks aren't her own.
Well, but it has, who they are has nothing to do with their looks.
Oh,
and
I know.
I'll
I'm
tell you
saying.
This too, like it wears off. I was married to a guy who was super freaking good looking, and it was like, you don't see it after a while.
Well, I'm just saying, like, with her boyfriend and stuff, I'm just saying she can do better if she wants. It's sad to see someone with so much going for her. So
I know, it looks thirsty. It's like the Cynthia Bailey school of thirst trap.
Yeah.
It's sad, actually, to me. She's an interesting woman. She really is. Like I told you, she was like a prison guard or something. She was like a prison guard or probation officer or something like that. Anyway, that's all. I'm sorry.
The seasons really evolved because I started out with Jennifer growing on me and Dolores pissing me off. And here we are, like, where are we, mid-season? No, they already filmed the reunion. They filmed it, like, last week.
Right,
so we're probably, what, 4 or 5 episodes out?
Don't say it. I just wanted to go on longer.
Yeah.
I just think it's so interesting. Atlanta used to be my favorite. This season, it's my least favorite. And Jersey's my favorite this year, just this year, or I should the year just started, but like of recent memory, it's my favorite. And also Below Deck, which has been amazing. And I think Vanderpump Rules is going to just kill it this season, I feel.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I saw some great lines on Twitter about Vanderpump Rules and how great it is this season.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with shows like The Hills.
Yeah.
Like Melrose Place or something.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Melrose Place walked so The Hills could run, so Vanderpump Rules could fly.
That like, it is freaking just, awesome.
It's and like just next level, like holy. LA soap. It's so good.
It really is good. I love it. And I really want to come down soon and go to WeHo. We'll do the Vanderpump crawl again.
Hashtag hang with our bestie, Peter.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Shout out.
So do you have anything to add, my friends?
No. Should we tell them about next week?
Yeah. We're going to take a week off. Both of us have to travel, and having just podcasted live from Hawaii, it was harder than I thought.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a week off, but we'll see y'all in 2 weeks, hopefully with even more exciting news. So thanks for stopping by, Kiki and Kibitz, our very favorite podcast, and hopefully yours too. And if you like the show, please head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give us a 5-star rating, maybe even a sexy, fabulous review. And as soon as we make some merch, we'll send you some. Yes, we're bribing you, but only if you give us a 5-star rating, okay?
Yeah.
Let me just be clear. Yeah. So anyway, have a good couple weeks, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.